Welcome back to this 2020 podcast. I'm your host, Johnny Keith, and we're still in season five, the season of the woman. And today, you will not be disappointed. We have Superwoman on our program today, and you're going to find out why after this interview. Her name is Eugenia. I'm going to let her pronounce her last name. She is simply amazing. Mom, actress, writer, producer, and stand-up comic. Who would have thought? Why don't we just get this amazing woman on the phone, and let's see what she has to offer you. And I think it's a lot. And here we go.
Hello.
Hey, Eugenia. It's Johnny Keith from Actors 2020 Podcast. How are you?
Hi. So great to hear from you.
You too. Hey, could you say your first and last name for me?
Eugenia Kuzmina.
Yeah, I think I would have mispronounced that.
No, that's fine. Trust me.
So after doing all this research on you, first of all, I'm tired. It goes on forever, like infinity and beyond. So
You're
I think
funny.
The better question for you, I think, is what don't you do?
I love that. You know, nobody ever asked me that. That's a good one.
Hey, so I grew up in the roller skating rink. I used to, you know, be the guy with the whistle to tell you to slow down. And I could do pretty much anything on roller skates. And even though I'm in my 50s now, I'm confident I can put some skates on and do everything that I used to. What about you? Because you were trained as a professional ice skater. When's the last time you ice skated?
Actually, I skated maybe a year ago, right before pandemic, because my daughter, she's a natural. She drags me around. Even in LA, when it's really warm, we will find an ice skating ring and go there.
Really? Are you still comfortable on ice skates?
Definitely. I'm more grown up, so when I was a child, it was much easier to jump in the air, and it changed a little bit. You know, my flexibility is not the same, but I still challenge myself.
You can teach your daughter all your tricks, right?
Exactly. Yeah, vicariously live through her.
Well, hey, so your dad was a nuclear physicist and your mom was a scientist. Did you feel any pressure to follow in their footsteps?
A little bit. I mean, because in Russia, there wasn't anything as a creative profession. So I think my parents just were really surprised when I didn't follow their steps. And yeah, you know, like math was not my strongest subject, even though I understood it. I kind of had inclination to do more literature and creative studies.
So how did it really all like start for you to start going towards the modeling? And then we'll talk about the acting and the comedian later. That's so interesting. But so did it start for you as a model?
Yeah, well, there is this joke, which is true. I started literally modeling when I was born because in Russia, literally, it's a funny, crazy story, but in Russia, they separate mothers and babies when they're born, and they put them in different rooms for like a week.
Right.
And the newspaper came, they needed to see like a healthy baby. So they picked me up and my mom came in and she's like, where's my child? And they said like, oh, they took her for a photo shoot. So I was taken without consent. That's how I started modeling. But then consciously around 13, when Russia started changing, all these companies like RC Cola, Coca-Cola, L'Oreal started coming. They were looking for models in the local market. And I really wanted to escape school at that point.
What was your first big gig that you got there?
Actually, there was only one designer in Russia. His name is Vyacheslav Zaitsev. He was amazing, but I was really fortunate that he kind of took me under his wing. And my first cover was, it's called Beauty. And I remember they put so much makeup on me that I looked, I was 13, but I looked literally like almost 20. And I had a really embarrassing story as well, like my first embarrassing moment in modeling, because that cover, they said that I won like a beauty award of the year or whatever, and had to come out and get the award. So that was like a sure deal. And then I come out on stage and they're like, no, 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 go back. You actually didn't win. There's like another winner.
What?
So I had to walk back. The walk of shame. So I learned very fast. You know that.
Yeah. Was the host Steve Harvey?
maybe. Came to Russia specifically to embarrass her child.
No, but it's so funny. Remember he announced the wrong girl and the girl took the crown?
Mm-hmm.
He goes, oh, wait a minute. I read the card wrong. They had to take the crown off the girl and put it on the other girl. Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. Yes. So, and it's funny because, like, first, of course, they took it to heart. I'm like, I didn't win the beauty award. I'm not beautiful. I'm ugly. It was interesting. It grounded me very fast.
But then, years later, you're on the cover of Glamour, right?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it took a while. I moved to Paris, and it's a completely different market. The girls coming from all over the world, and it's so much more pressure, and it's a different level. So it took me maybe a year just going around to castings, living in a model's apartment with like six other girls, in a bunk bed, and literally surviving, saving money home. And one day, I was lucky enough because Yves Saint Laurent actually noticed me. I was very shy, so I think a lot of models have to really be presentable, but I was always hiding in the corner. And then Yves Saint Laurent, he was kind of like that himself. He would always hide behind the smoke whenever you come to his studio. And I think he just saw like a kindred spirit. And he pulled me from the corner and like dressed me up. And then little I know, I was on the podium with like Naomi Campbell and Claudia Schiffer, Carlo Broody.
Oh my God.
And
so great.
He really changed my life.
Wow, that is so great. Hey, you said you were in an apartment with six girls and you had models from all over the world. Now, were the girls nice or were they mean or both to you?
You know,
did they get
both.
Along?
I would say both. And I think there's just no really education. It's like all these teenagers are not very comfortable in the skin a lot of times. They're all girls.
Yeah.
Girls grown without parents, any support system. And of course, they were like funny stories where girls will like steal things from each other and only stay over for like a day. And then suddenly your bag is missing. Like the food is missing. Like there were a lot of interesting things. But also actually, I met one of my best friends living in a model's apartment when I was working with Ford in one of penthouses, and we're still best friends to this day, which is
awesome.
Says a lot about.
So did you take French lessons or did you just pick up the language living there to speak French?
No, my dream for some reason always was to like see the Eiffel Tower. Like I was born, I was like, oh my God, I need to see the Eiffel Tower no matter what. Like I had no idea how that would happen, but it did tie it together to modeling. I took a few lessons when I was in Russia just because I obsessed about Paris, and then it kind of went away. And then when I moved to Paris, I realized that nobody actually will make an effort to talk to you, and I had to find where to go to my job and ask for directions and kind of be an adult, also sign contracts, negotiate with clients. So I did learn French by myself, just watching TV or trying to understand how to read books. And it's pretty amazing what you can do on your own.
And now you can still speak French right now?
Yes. Yeah, oui, je parle français, j'adore Paris. C'est pas longtemps que je n'étais pas là, mais...
That's pretty good. What about, how did you learn Portuguese? How'd you learn that language?
So Portuguese, I don't speak as much. I understand more. I can say like, pouquinho, e falo pouquinho, obrigada a fazer. Small words here and there, just because my agent is from Brazil, and he's actually like the best agent now in the industry who worked with everybody from Giselle and made careers with Gigi Hadid and like everybody. So he sent me to Fashion Week to Brazil, and I realized if you want to get paid, you better speak Portuguese too. And also, it's just it's a beautiful culture with all their dancing, and they're just so engaging. So it was very easy to communicate with them and kind of pick up some words here and there.
I know, it seems like a very friendly culture. I want to go. So when you're doing work for Cartier, you know, Armani, Christian Dior, do they ever give you products and stuff to take as well?
Cartier, definitely not. They actually would send three bodyguards to just watch you. Like, and just, they don't even let you put the bracelets on. They will take it on and off. And there you go. There is a lot of protocol. But at a time, some designers would give us clothes, like Dior from the shows. Like, if you like something, they would give it to you. Of course, it changed after the recession in 2008. So it kind of changed the whole business. But I do still have a few pieces from the time when Saint Laurent gave it to me, or Balenciaga.
That's cool. So you said you got into acting by accident. How did that happen? What was the accident?
Well, it's interesting because I hear a lot of actors now, and a lot of my friends are actors, right? And they always knew that there's a theme that they knew that they want to be actors. And they went and pursued it from like 6 years old. But in my case, there really wasn't any kind of chance to do that. And I never even thought about it. I just wanted to get out of the country. And the thing is, I think I always had it in my heart as a child because we grew up in Food Lion, so I think my imagination, like I always was trying to escape from reality in some way and, you know, be all these different things in my mind and play. But I never actually thought about, like, there wasn't any acting classes, and obviously I had no idea how to get into it. And modeling is such a demanding business. You literally have to stay on top every day. You never know what's happening. You can't think about other things. So I think maybe in New York, when I started making quite a lot of money, I took like a month off and I went to a New York Film Academy just because it was advertised.
Yes.
Every billboard, and I had no idea. And I went for a directing course, and I wanted to know how to create stuff, and modeling is so out of control that I wanted, I think, to find my voice in some way. And then my friends started asking me to, like, act in their films there, and they're like, well, you should do acting. At some point when I met my husband and moved to Los Angeles, I just found myself in the center of entertainment business really by accident because he was in it, and I just had a baby, and I started going to castings here for models. But a lot of times, models and actors, there's kind of like castings that they try to cast models in, which is not always right, because I realized over years that it's a completely different profession. But that's how I got my first job, because I went to audition from my modeling agency. And it was Rodrigo Prieto, who was a cinematographer for Babel and Wolf of Wall Street. And he was shooting something with Elle Fanning, which was his directorial debut for Tribeca. And I had to do something like, I think the audition was like, oh, portray the worst things of like human nature you can do. Or when it was so out of like the ordering that we do on modeling casting,
right,
where you have to be so together and perfect. And I think I was at that point, like with a 1 month old baby, where I was already so out of control, that wasn't a very big stretch.
Oh my, no
yeah.
sleep.
Yeah, exactly. I was like, just give it to me, like, you know, I can show you ugly. And it was like, it was
so
fun. So yeah, I got the job and kind of fell in love with being imperfect, and it was just so different from modeling.
It's almost probably a relief, huh?
Oh my God, yeah, for sure. You know, because as a model, nobody hears you, you have no voice. People project anything on you, you know, you have a makeup, you have like, and it's so interesting because if you notice, a lot of times images of models, their eyes are not the center of attention, right? So in acting, headshots are learned, like eyes are everything. Like it doesn't matter what
it
you
is.
Wear, you have to hide behind the clothes or
right.
anything, makeup.
So like body wise, are you genetically blessed or do you work out to keep your body?
Oh no, I work out a lot. I do, but also, you know, I'm staying healthy for sure, because when I started modeling, I stopped eating completely because I was really trying to like fit in all the dresses and make as much money as I can for my family. And I had anorexia, so I knew like how unhealthy it is and how challenging it is to come out of it. So I went through that period, thank God, pretty early. And then I knew when, if I gained weight for some reason, like after kids, I have to work out for sure, really hard, but I also have to like stay healthy. I can't just like go crazy mentally. So yeah, my friend, some girls that do have genetics, my best friend who I said I met in the model apartment, she only ate pasta, like throughout, nothing else, only carbs. And she was like the skinniest. But thank God there's no, like the body image is really changing in modeling. And now actually they're all kind of shapes. And I'm so proud of the fashion industry for that.
Yeah, one of my good friends now, her name is Marjorie Lethic, and she's a Haiti baby that was adopted by two French people, and she's a plus-size African-American girl. She's amazing. She's out there killing it.
You know, like when I started Ashley Graham, she was working at Ford. She's a pretty plus-size model now, but I remember, like, all the skinny girls could have a career, but she was working so hard, such a nice person, and could only work in catalogs behind the scenes. Like, nobody knew who she was. So when, like, she started getting all these covers and have a career, I was blown away.
I know, because that's what most women in America look like. They're not skinny. They're healthy and happy.
Yeah, yeah. As long as you feel healthy and happy, I think that's what matters inside. Like, having a girl now, like, I want her to have a healthy body. But...
yeah, that's for sure. Your husband, Bill, are you guys, like, super supportive of each other?
Yeah, we're supportive. We sometimes it's hard because we both are really focused and on our thing. Sometimes like having a family all challenging kind of in between, like who's going to stay and who's going to travel for a film, things like that. But we have really clear communication. That's what the good marriage is, right? And
that's true.
Like it goes
that's
up and down, but, and every day you never know what's going to happen. That's how I live my life. Like every day can be the best day, but also, you know, it can go anyway.
I know. Then with one phone call, you're like, hey, you're booked on this. You have to go. You have no choice. So you have to adjust your life and you have to go because it's very demanding. So your star meter is like at 12,000. That's really impressive. That's like celebrity status.
Well, I think maybe it's because I've been really fortunate to work with amazing actors and directors that I really admire, and I think that was somehow conscious choice, but somehow also like luck in that sense. So
right,
I think maybe my star meter is really dependent on the people I worked with, and not like now I have a great film where I'm the lead. I've done a few, but a lot of times I've done supporting roles with really incredible actors, and it's a teamwork. It is what it is.
Right. So you met a lot of the big actors, like Tom Cruise and Brad Pitt. Have you met them?
Brad Pitt, yeah, I met him, but not Tom Cruise. But I heard a lot of amazing things about him, how supportive he is of like other actors on set, professional, and will be always there for your rehearsal. That's one thing you learn. You maybe will have to talk to a wall if you're a supporting actor.
Yeah.
No.
I was in Mission Impossible 2. I had a little small part and I saw him from
a
real far distance. I'm like, oh my God, there's Tom like way over there.
Yeah,
that's
great.
Though. So on Bad Mom, so Christian Bale and Mila Kunis, nice girls?
Yeah, super nice. That was one of the best sets I've ever been to because everybody was a mom on that set and everybody, I think it was like Oscar night and we were all in this little small nothing waiting room for like a film. Nobody was fighting over trailers and we're just goofing around trying to see who's gonna win. Like it was just such a great team of people trying to make a movie, and there was No, we go on set. We had a blast. It was the director from The Hangover. Director. It's fun to be working with people who enjoy what they do.
Okay, so you talked about being a model and being a mom. So why don't you talk about the show you produce? Was it called Model Mom?
Yeah, it's a blog. Started after I had my first kid. And we want to make it into something eventually that's like a storytelling thing. But for now, it's a blog.
Okay.
I found myself kind of in a weird position because a lot of my model friends, when I had kids, my mid-20s, they weren't planning to have kids because they're like in the middle of their career now. Of course, you can work till like 80, but I think even at that time, like a few years ago, was like, okay, you're like 28, bye. So everybody was very focused on career and like partying and like going to networking events, and I was with a like baby, so I didn't fit in and I didn't know how to like communicate it. A little frustrated because I couldn't have any life. I was like on set, back home, baby, like back on set. And then also in mom world, I feel like when I was coming to carpool lane and I had to go to a modeling job or acting audition or something after wearing like short skirt or something, because whatever the role entailed at some point, and the moms didn't understand that, and I felt so embarrassed because I heard like to fit in as a mom you have to look really undepreciated and like not ready and wear sweatpants and like pretend like you haven't slept, even if, you know, you like put yourself together still. So I don't know, I felt like I didn't fit in. And sometimes I would be late to like parenting meetings or would mess up something because it was hard to organize this crazy lifestyle in the beginning. So I started this blog to kind of just find out how other women who are really passionate about their career but also were raising small kids, like how do they do this? And I know there isn't a formula to everybody. And through that, I found such an amazing group of women. And also, it's not like only models who are fashion models. I feel a model is somebody who is a parent, because kids, they model their behavior on you, like if you want it or not. And that's how I met all these incredible people who are from all kinds and places of life, and it just became such a thing. And then we tried to do it with Bravo, like into a reality show. What I realized, it wasn't really working, because suddenly it started to be all about like women arguing, and that was so against my message that I was trying to do. So currently I'm talking to a few writers to make it into more like a comedy scripted thing, but make it about friendship and not showing this like glamour and people as a disaster, like falling apart.
So how did you get into stand-up?
By funny accident as well, you know, like nobody ever told me I'm funny. Maybe I was always awkward, like I was falling over things, you know, was like a little bit
that's
weird,
funny.
You know? Yeah, I'm a little bit weird. I was doing a film in New York with John Turturro, Sofia Vergara, Sharon Stone, Woody Allen, and I remembered Woody was shooting at Carlisle, a scene. And he was saying how he like plays on the side and does stand up. And I was like, oh, well, here you go. Like, you can do stand up maybe.
So what are your bits about?
Yeah, sure. Well, I started from what I know, obviously, like modeling. I come up and do my model walk, and then I stare at everybody's plate and I say, I'm so hungry. And I don't have to.
That's funny.
I don't
That's
have to punchline. I know, right? Like, my writing is like,
oh my God.
Somebody told me I don't need to do jokes because I am a joke. So I was like, okay, I'll roll from that, you know?
So online, where would be the best place for people to find out more information about you?
Well, Instagram is probably easy because sometimes I would answer your message if relevant. Sometimes girls ask me about like how to start modeling, things like that. So it's Eugenia Kuzmina. Or you can definitely, I think Google is such an easy platform now, right? To find everybody.
Yep. Just type her name in there. And it's, I'm going to spell her name. Eugenia. And the last name is Kuzmina.
Yeah. So yeah, I think Google is your best detective.
Yeah. That's true. If you're going to research her, pack a lunch. It's going to take a while. You can be on the internet for over 24 hours and you still almost see all the information on her. It was fun researching you. Hey, Eugenia, thank you so much for doing my podcast. I really, really appreciate it. This is season 5, the season of the woman. It's all about women empowerment. I just covered an event in Hollywood Friday. So many amazing women. Women are the most awesome thing on this planet, more than gold, diamond, platinum. That's what I feel. And this, I wouldn't even want to live in this world if women weren't on here. Mom, actor, writer, producer, and stand-up comic. You're amazing.
That's so sweet. I love that you're supporting women. That's so great.
Awesome. And I'm sure you inspired somebody out there who is listening saying, wow, if she can do it, I can do it too. Thanks again for being on my show. You take care, okay?
Okay.
Bye-bye. All right. Give it up for
Eugenia Kuznina.
That's Eugenia Kuznina on Facebook, Instagram, Internet Movie Database, or just type it in Google. We only have a few shows left from the season of The Woman, season 5, and season 6 will start in early July. We're going to be back to our regular programming with teens, guys, girls, and international actors from all over the world. I'm Johnny Keith, your host for Actors2020podcast.com. Until the next episode, bye-bye.